And it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As I was going through this verse and I was going through this passage, I kept thinking about how grateful I am to have a Christian life. Not the Christian life that a lot of people advertise, not the holier than thou, I'm better than you kind of Christianity, but the kind of Christianity where my life in every aspect has been touched by Christ. I'm grateful that my sins have been forgiven. I'm grateful that God has showed me a better path than one that I would have chosen or constructed for myself. I'm glad that God continues to forgive me. I'm glad that He has given me a purpose in life and a job. I'm glad for the work and the calling of the Great Commission and the responsibilities that come with it. I am glad to have people in my life that I might not have already known, that now I get to know and I love. I'm glad for those things. Life is so much better with Christ. Life has changed radically. For those of us who are saved, I am grateful that in this verse, He says, "Come unto me. Come unto me." The first thing that He says here is there's a qualification. You who labor, come unto me. Some of you, you're working pretty hard in the kitchen right now, no doubt, getting stuff ready. I was talking to my mom. My mom goes, "All right, I've got this going, that going, and then by the time I get home, I can do this, 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 and that." And Danielle's been baking all day, and everybody's just kind of getting ready for tomorrow. But I tell you what, it is not, I'll tell you this, I love food. You know I love food. Who's kidding who? I cannot tell you what the best dish was last year. Bless my heart, I can't tell you. But I tell you what, I had a couple good conversations with some relatives, got the opportunity to give the gospel to one that was normally very reticent to hear it, had a good conversation. It wasn't one of those awkward conversations, but they were laughing and smiling, and I was laughing and smiling. I got an opportunity to spend some time talking to my dad. It was good. Life is far more important than the stuff we try to shove into it. And we're all working and we're all laboring. And you know what? We've got to labor. We've got to do things. Right? We've got to be the ones out there hustling and moving. There was a guy I saw today. He was talking to some folks. He's going to be working all through tomorrow. And he was talking about how he's got to work all through tomorrow and all the stuff that he's got to do. That's life. We got to labor sometimes. Now, personally, I think that his boss is mean for making him do it. But that's neither here nor there. No, I'm glad that Christ calls to Him laborers. Those of us that have work to do, have a lot of work to do. You know, we try so hard to make things work right in our lives. We work hard in our jobs. You know, many people putting in their 30 to 40 years of labor, working hard, saving up for retirement, getting there, getting the retirement, and then it's kind of working on the side to supplement the retirement, and there's always labor. I'm glad the Lord sees us. I'm glad the Lord sees the work that we must do. I'm glad that He sees us, those that have a lot of work. He says, "Come, all of you who labor." And among that labor, those of us that are working hard, people who are really trying to see things get done in their lives, who are really trying to make things happen, who are trying to build. It's hard to find people willing to work hard nowadays. But we see so much, not just a physical connotation to those that work and those that work hard. Many of us, we've got to work hard at life. And we're laboring and we're trying to do the best we can. We're trying to be the best human being that we can be. We're trying to be the best example we can be. We're trying to make the money. We're trying to pay the bills. We're trying to raise our kids right. We're trying to go out there and make a name for ourselves. We try. Lord says, "Come unto me. Come unto me." I can make this a little bit easier for you. I can make this a little bit. He doesn't just say, hey, you that labor. He says, hey, you that are heavy laden. Many of us, we carry burdens. We carry burdens. Each and every one of us, we've got some kind of trial or another going on, and we're working on things, and we're burdened by those things, and we try to perk ourselves up. All right, no, come on. Come on, we got this. One more round. One more go. Come on, I can get through this. I used to sit in my car sometimes when I wasn't feeling good, right? You could tell if I wasn't feeling good, if I was sitting in my car during lunchtime, and I'm just, all right, Mike, come on. Come on, we got 4 or 5 more hours. Let's go. We got this. Give yourself a little pep talk, and you're carrying that burden. I don't feel good, or there's trouble at home, or there's issues going on in my health, or we've all got burdens, and they're serious, and sometimes they get downright heavy, don't they? Sometimes we experience a heaviness from our burdens because of how long we've been carrying them. You see, something like this, that's not very hard to carry around. But if I did this for a while, after a while, what would start to happen? And then have to let it go. Some of us, we carry small things for too long. Sometimes we've got very big things that we're not even supposed to be carrying. We're supposed to be dealing with properly. We've got anxiety and stress from conversations that we should have, but don't. We've got worry, and we've got doubt, and we've got fears that prevent us from doing the thing that would help us to lay the burden down or to resolve the matter. What does Jesus say to those people? Come. Come on to me. Now, I like what he says there. I will give you rest. Not I will make rest available to you. Not, hey, you will have the opportunity to eventually kick your feet up and get some rest. I will give you rest. Had that happen at work one time. My boss came in and her boss came in. And they said, Matt, you've really racked in the hours. I said, hey, sorry about that. We've had this problem, but we're getting to the point where things are slowing down. And I want you guys to know I'm not abusing the overtime system. It's just we've had a lot. Yes, Matt, we understand. We've read your reports. We see what's going on. We're here to make sure that you get some time off so you're free today. Am I in trouble? No. Because I've been in part of those offices where they give you a day off so they could go through your stuff. Right, you come in and everybody's looking at you funny and all your stuff's moved around and, you know, the boss is like, hey, listen, we just want to let you know we audited you yesterday and everything's going fine. Completely shattering any bit of confidence you have, you shattered even though you're not in trouble. No, Matt, listen, you did this, we want you to take a day off. No, you know what, I appreciate that, but I've got stuff to do. No, Matt, you don't understand. You're taking a day off. Here's this, here's that, here's a gift card to go do that. Now we want you to take pictures that you were there to prove that you went and took some time off. All right, fine. I went for my laptop, my work laptop. My boss reached over and grabbed it. She goes, I've seen that maneuver before. Took it back. I will give you rest. Don't you like it when you're carrying something heavy? Somebody comes by and they say, hey, let me help you with that. Let me lift that for you. What's that? You've got issues at work? Hey, I'm your Heavenly Father. I'm here to carry that for you. What's that? You're struggling? I'm here to help you with that. You've got some issues in your family, some issues in your relationship. Here's my word. My word has answers for the problems you have. My word has encouragement for the sorrow you're feeling. My word can help you. I will give you rest. Because sometimes that's what we need. We need the answer to solve the problem. And then what happens? We just feel it fall off of us, don't we? All that work that we've got to do, all that stress that we're feeling over something, all that anxiety that bubbles up. You know, hey, listen, you know, I said that to them and they got upset and they said that to me, and now we're coming up on Thanksgiving. We're going to have this fight. Let's do this before dinner. Pick up that phone. Hey, listen, I said this thing to you, and I'm sorry. I apologize. And perhaps the Lord would move in their heart, and they'll say the same thing to you. I'm sorry. Guess what you get to have tomorrow? You get to have yourself a good time. Hey, you know what? There's this responsibility that I've been putting off. There's this work that I'm supposed to do. And I put it off and I put it off and I put it off. And I'm getting all this negative. Lord says, I'll give you some strength to do that. You ever stop before something difficult? Just have a quick little conversation with the Lord? Isn't it amazing how... I mean, it encouraged me. I told the Lord I was going to do it. I told the Lord I needed help doing it. So what a fool would I look like if I didn't go out there and do it? I'll give you rest. And all of a sudden, that thing gets done. And the Lord's helped you through that situation. You've taken the word. You've put it into shoes in your life. You've solved the problem. You've got to the point where you could lay down the burden. Or you've gotten some comfort in your sorrow. Whatever it is that you needed, you got. And all of a sudden, how do you feel? I don't know about you, but I got this ability. I got this problem where I go. And I don't realize how tired I am until I stop. You ever do that? The ball goes in the hoop one last time. The game's over and you go, whoo, that was good, right? Or whatever it is gets taken care of and the phone call hangs up or the whatever gets processed. Whoo, all right, I'm ready to go home now. We do what the Lord wants us to do in the situations that we are in. We will have rest. But what do we got to do? We got to go to Him. Come unto me, He says. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now let's see what else He says. It can be kind of confusing to those that aren't paying attention, where He then says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Well, now, wait a minute, Lord. You said you will give me rest. What's this yoke business you're talking about? Because that sounds like work. And you promised me rest. Sometimes we're wearing the wrong kind of yoke. Sometimes we're fighting battles we've got no business fighting in. Sometimes we're doing things that we shouldn't be doing, and we're working hard to accomplish things that are entirely unnecessary. We go to war over dumb things. We fight this, we bicker over that. We got no business doing stuff like that. Now I tell you what, if there was some substance to it, if there was some truth to what was necessary, well, I tell you what, that's something where you kind of dig your heels in. But most of the things we bicker and argue and work for are useless things. Useless. Think about those people in the Tower of Babel. They built that tower and built that tower and they did all this work and they were so proud of themselves right up until God voiced His displeasure. Sometimes we put the wrong kind of things as an emphasis in our life. We've talked about this before. Everybody, not everybody, but you see folks out there, they try to define themselves by their job title. Well, I am an assistant director. Well, I'm this. I'm that. I tell you what, if at the end of your life all you are is an assistant director, how sad. If the most important thing that you have going on about you is the job that you have, you need to watch out. Because what happens when that job is taken away? What happens when that company folds? What happens when something happens and you're no longer able to perform that job? You think of these athletes. They go out there and they run hard and they do the work. One knee injury sidelines them and they're out. They're done. I know of somebody, they worked hard, they got a degree in veterinary medicine, and they fulfilled a lifelong dream, and everything went well, and their health just kind of blew up. Now, I grew up with that person. We played on the kindergarten playground. Since we were children, that's what they wanted to do. Something happened, and there it is. We got to find that our purpose overexceeds the work we do. That our value is found in something outside of who's writing us the check. We need to have meaning in our lives. And the only meaning I've ever really found that had any value was the meaning I find in Christ. Because I could not, I could be the best in any job I had. But if I wasn't doing it the way God wanted me to do it, I was doing it wrong. And I could have hurt me. I could have hurt other people. The Lord could have chastised me and ruined things out to get my attention if I wasn't doing things His way. Folks, we need to see that we're doing things His way. We need to make sure that we're doing the work He would have us to do. We need to make sure that we've got godly priorities and not, well, anything else. Not anything else. Matt, why won't you sell like this? It's not a lie. I mean, we eventually tell them what the full price is. Oh, it's easy. My God wouldn't want me to. Now, come on, Matt. You don't believe that. We're all grown-ups here. I do believe that. And I don't see anything wrong with telling people the truth. If lying to people is what grown-ups do, I'm a Toys R Us kid. If the only way for me to get my job done is to lose my integrity, I'm clocking out. If the only way for me to participate in this or that is for me to compromise on God, then I can't participate in this. And as a matter of fact, I told one person one time, your business will fail if I do this. They looked at me like I was crazy. I probably sounded crazy. If I disobey my God in your business, it'll hurt you. Joseph, in Potiphar's house, Potiphar was a wicked man. Potiphar's wife was even worse. Yet God blessed his house not for Potiphar's sake, not for Potiphar's wife's sake, but because he was simply blessing the work of Joseph's hands. We can easily come to the conclusion that anything that I do outside of pleasing the Lord in that job, in that relationship, in whatever, the exact opposite would be true. That if I disobey God, He will curse the work of my hands. And I will see that business fail, and I will see that effort fail, and I will see that my compromise wrought something that I'm not happy with. I need to have the right priorities. I need to have the right motives. You see, the work that God has called us to do is what? The Great Commission. To be good church members. And by good church members, I'm not just talking about attendance. I'm talking about loving each other, respecting each other, having care and compassion one to another, having a desire for each other, having forgiveness and long-suffering, bearing all the fruits of the Spirit upon each other. Oh, the beauty of the Christian life. You see, that's why, take my yoke upon you. Right? Put my work on. Because my work is a lot easier than anything else you're fighting with down there. I had jobs before where it was my job to be better than everybody else. When I was doing dog training, I had to outsell the classes. I got a guy that I worked with, but I never worked with him. I always worked against him. I wanted them in my class. And if I got them in my class, I got the better bonus. I got more money. And eventually one of us would be the lead trainer. And hey, that's awesome. When I was working as a maintenance guy, there was three of us that traveled around. And we would do our stuff. And oh, what a great time it was. But only one of us could be the boss. Only one of us could make the high-tier money. Am I right? And you work that way for 30 to 40 years, doing whatever it is that you can. Top salesman, top this, better that. Promotion here, promotion there. Fight, fight, fight. And after a while, you realize that you're the most successfully hated person in your entire company. Oh, sure, at dinner when you got together for Thanksgiving and Christmas, you dominated the conversation. Everybody sat there and they're like, hey, there's a stubborn person. There's a loudmouth person. They always get the last word, the first word and the last word. How boisterous they are. Sure, you'll win a fight, but you've never won anybody over to your point of view. Why? Because it's me versus you. Fight, fight, fight. I'm the good guy. You're the bad guy. But that's not the yoke we have. You see, you cannot put on the yoke that Christ has for us if we don't have love for other people. If we don't have compassion for other people. If the most diametrically opposed from us person is standing in front of us, we've got to remember Paul's words, "And such were some of you." We need to keep things in perspective. To put on the yoke of the Lord is to love others. And I tell you what, if you really put the effort into it, it's really not all that hard. It's really not all that hard to love people. We're kind of wired to do so. To share a kind word. "Hey, how are you?" You know, I get in trouble for that. I'll go out and I'm supposed to go out and come back real quick and I'll get to talking to people. "Hey, how are you?" "Oh, that's good. That's wonderful." I like asking questions about people and learning about them and seeing how they're doing. And no, a lot of people I find I don't agree with, and a lot of people I find out about me and they don't want to talk to me, and that's fine. But hey, we gave it a shot. And I pray for them. And I pray for them. You know, I take those moments just to stop. "Hey, Lord, you know, they mentioned that this, they're struggling with this and they're fighting with that. And Lord, sounded like they needed salvation. Lord, I pray that we run into each other again, that they think about the things that I've said, that maybe they'll come to the church." And love people. Love people. Pay for the order for the person behind you. You know, or before you, if you're standing in line and they're struggling, they need help. Love people that way. You know, don't just ask, "Hey, how are you?" Actually pause and consider the answer. That is the yoke we bear, to have a genuine concern for others. In sales, I was taught how to do small talk, and I think that's why I hate small talk so much and I'm so awkward at it, because it just seemed, it was awkward. Right, if they're wearing a shirt, ask about the shirt. "Oh, you like the Lions? That's great. Hey, you like football? You ever been to a game? You ever have season pass? Blah blah blah." And it's like make them your friend so you can sell them the thing. And I hate that, because that is a whole human being over there, and I'm using the things that they're wearing and the things that they're doing just to get at them. We used to do shop comparisons between other properties, so I would wear clothing to the thing I knew nothing about. I'd go in there wearing a football shirt. I have no idea who's on the team, no idea who's coaching the team, no idea how they're doing this year. "Oh, you like Michigan football, huh? Oh, yeah, no, I found it." "What?" "Yeah, in the back of my car." "Well, okay." Just to see what it would do to them. It's a mess. No, genuine love and care and compassion. "You know what? Yeah, you know what? I never really thought about a stranger's cat before, but go ahead and tell me the story. I'll hear it." To show a love and an interest in people and a concern about where their eternal souls are going to be. It's not about me winning, my church being bigger than your church. It's not about the numbers on the wall, not the money, not the who's showing up. It is all about, where will you spend eternity when you die? "Well, hey, let me tell you what the Bible says." "Well, that's not what I learned." "Yeah, but that is what Jesus said." You got to square with that or not. You see, we need to have not just an interest, but develop an actual care and concern. Let's have the proper motives. Folks, we need to have the right value system. The right value system. You know what bothers me when I bump into a preacher? "Oh, you're a preacher." "Oh, yeah. Well, I'm the pastor." Well, it's never pastor anymore. You know, I'm the assistant second under shepherd, a pastor to the. I'm the business pastor of such and such church over there. "Okay. Well, how many are you guys running nowadays?" Not what have you been preaching on. Not what are you reading. How many people are you getting through the door? I told one person one time, I go, "Listen, I don't have the numbers you have, but I know them by name." "Well, wait a minute. That's not a brag. It's not a brag. If we had 100 people and I knew their name, praise the Lord. If we had 200 people and I knew their name, praise the Lord. But I know who they are. And I pray for them." "Well, we pray for our people too. By name?"
By care? By need?
So I like to ask those questions. What are you preaching on? Oh, I don't do much preaching. You know, I handle the books. I handle the puppet shows. I handle the lights. I handle the assistant pastor to the smoke machine operator. All right, fine. What'd you learn in Sunday school? Well, I don't go to Sunday school. Typically, that's the point where I'm doing my admin work. All right, well, what's the pastor preaching on? Oh, while he's doing that, we're in the back and we're counting the tithe during that time. So what about Wednesday? Oh, Wednesday is my night off. How are you being fed? That's my question. Hey, what are you feeding the flock? What are you doing? What is there anything that your church is doing right now that I could pray for you for? We were at the Flushing Christmas thing. They were doing that live nativity scene. And I got to talking about that to one of the guys there. He says he was one of the pastors at their church. He got real uncomfortable. I started talking, well, what are you guys preaching on? What's serious? Well, we got the play coming up on Sunday. But no prospects as to how the Word of God is being handled? We need to have the right priorities. That's why I call them franchise churches. They're more interested in your occupation, you being here, right? How much money you can give. How they can get you to come in. They don't care about souls. They don't care about truth. They don't care about preaching the Word. And half the time, the pastor's got a funny rule where you're not supposed to approach him. You're not supposed to go directly to him. You've got to go to your discipler. The discipler reaches out to a deacon. The deacon reaches out to a higher deacon. He reaches out to the assistant pastor. And if that's necessary, they'll take it to the pastor. But please, don't interrupt him. Don't bother him as he's coming to and fro to the pulpit. He's very busy. If I ever get that busy, there's a problem. If I ever get that busy, there's a problem. If we as church members, not just me, let's not pick on me for a second, but if we as church members get too busy to care about the day in and day out, so what's going on in this congregation, not busybodies, you know what I'm saying, but if we ever stop and lose that care, there's a problem. There's a problem. Well, I can't be approached. Do you understand how busy my time is? Yeah. We need to have the right value system. We need to love the Lord more than we love money. We need to love the Lord more than we love politics. I had one friend, he asked me, he goes, Matt, you kind of stopped messaging me. Why? I said, I'll be honest with you, man, every time I could bring up, whatever I bring up to you, it always turns into politics. And it's not that I've made a decision, it's not that I've thought about it, but I think I just got tired of talking about politics. I got tired of it. I don't know what a lot to say about it is. I've got definite opinions on it. You know, I think the red and the blue, they're just two different sides of the same coin. I don't buy it anymore. Right? To me, what is it? It's the blind leading the blind. It's the wicked chasing after the more wicked. It doesn't interest me anymore. You're a Baptist, I'm a Baptist. I want to praise the Lord with you. I want to talk about Bible with you. I want to talk about how your family's doing. I want to talk about how everything's going back there at the church. I want to talk about those things. How are you, brother? Are you okay? Oh, but we get so rambunctious. We get so wild. I saw this on the news and I go, oh boy. Saw Donald Trump's running again. I think DeSantis is planning to run and they're already fighting. I go, this is going to be the best thing for the Republican Party ever. Absolutely. Let's split that vote right from the beginning. How ridiculous. How ridiculous. I stopped watching those political debates because this. When I grew up, we watched wrestling in the 90s. Now, bad. It's bad. Don't. But it's not the 90s, and I'm not even sure if wrestling's on anymore. But you remember, like, if you've watched those, don't admit to it, but if you have, remember the conversations they would have? Just muscles popped out, when I get you in the cage, I'm gonna win. And then you sit there and you watch Trump and Hillary. You know, you watch Biden and Trump. And that, I kind of get the same idea. And you know why the wrestlers did that?
Because they had to get you really excited to pay the big money to watch a fight where neither one of them could go past 10 minutes. There's only so often you can smack each other around before someone wants to go to sleep, right? Like, I know a play when I see one. I used to put them on. It got tiring for me. It gets tiring. I don't want to value politics over everything else in my life. I want to talk about the Lord, because I tell you what, one day the presidency of the United States will be no more. One day Russia will be a bygone memory. But the Word of God will still stand. Word of God will still stand. I want to talk about what matters. I do. I want to talk about what matters. As much as I would love to go round for round of what's going on in the Michigan legislature, tell me about your kid riding a bicycle for the first time this summer. I want to know about that. Tell me about that new job you got, that new promotion you got. Tell me about your degree that you just got. Tell me about how you're doing there at the college. Tell me what you're doing there at school. I want to know that stuff. I want to know how you're doing. Oh, that is the yoke of the Lord, to love and to care, to have the proper priorities, to put the Word of God in our devotion, to serving the Great Commission first before everything else. Sometimes we've got on the yoke of public image. I really want people to think that I'm a good guy. I really want people to look at me and see that I'm decent. I don't want them to see me as this. I don't want them to see me as that. So I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You know what you'll do if you put yourself all about public opinion? You'll wear yourself out. And you'll fall apart the first time somebody says something sideways to you. You'll get all choked up. Well, I can't believe they said that. They didn't think that this was all that good. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Sometimes that's what you see in churches. I want people to see a good Christian, but I don't necessarily want to put in the work. You ought not to be looking at how people see you. You need to be looking at how the Lord sees you and what you're doing. You clean that up, and public opinion will take care of itself. You actually be decent. You actually live with integrity. You actually obey the Scripture. You actually kick sin out of your life. And people will notice. But it should never be about people noticing. It's about obedience, plain and simple. Obedience, plain and simple. He says, come, take my yoke upon you. He says, learn of me. Learn of me. Do what I do. Come here and do what I do. I love that. I had somebody train me one time. That was the best way. Matt, come here and do what I do. Okay? All right, that's yours. This is mine. Okay? Now I'm doing this. You do that. Okay? Now I'm doing that. You do that. Okay? All right? I learned real fast. Love that guy. One of my favorite people ever sit there and train me was the guy, all right, you do this, I'll do this. Okay, good. And then I'll do the good, good. Put your hands on and let me show you how to do the work. That's who Jesus was. Of all the reasons why he came here on earth, one of them was so that we could see the right way to do it. We could see what it looks like. What inferences does he give himself? I am meek. Now we understand what meekness is, right? Meekness is not a pathetic, sad, very weak, timid person, right? What meekness is strength under control. It's strength under control. It's a sword that fits in a scabbard. That's what it is. You see, the Lord, he knew when to be gentle. He knew how to not put every bit of his force into something. But he also knew when it was time to. You understand? He could sit there and speak gently to the woman at the well. He could sit there and talk to those that had lost their loved ones. He could sit there and talk plainly and sweetly and directly to some lepers. But he could also sit there and fashion a whip, flip some tables, and go to war. Meekness is knowing when to bust the strength out and when not to. And as it turns out, most of the time it's more appropriate to show love than it is for us to use force. Now there's times. There's times in raising your kids. There's times to be gentle. There's times to be tough. My father-in-law gave me the best example of this. When it comes down to fixing things, he goes, all right, well, you start off with this wrench. And if that won't break through, you go to this wrench. And if that don't go through, you heat it up a little bit and you use this wrench. And I go, okay. And he goes, and if that doesn't work, you melt it because it can't be stuck if it's liquid. I go, okay. And he did one time just melted something right off of the car, damaged so much of it. I go, I'm not sure that was helpful. He goes, it helped me. It helped me. Listen, we need to learn meekness. When should I be strong? When should I be gentle? That strength never goes away. That strength is always there. You know, we think so much, you know, that people put women down. Oh, you're supposed to be gentle, supposed to be this. But you know what? You've seen those women who just in the right moment go and chase off lions and lift cars up. And there was a story of a woman one time ripped a car door right off of its hinges just to get at her baby. Folks, we need to, strength's always there. It's always there. It's knowing when to use it. Knowing how to use it. Knowing how much of it to use. In perfect control. Now, how do we know perfect control? That's where wisdom comes in. That's where wisdom comes in. So we need to be meek. Next thing we see is we need to be lowly. We need to be lowly. Right? It's not about me. It's not about my name up in lights. It's not about people letting me have the last word. It's not about my way or the highway, right? What is it? I stand by the truth, and I don't need to pull a lot of attention to myself. You know, I've got a loud voice. I'm easy to find. I got a lot, you know, my kids have loud voices, bless their hearts. I never lose them. I know exactly where they are. Where's so-and-so? And you hear them screaming from the back of the house. Just a regular conversation at the loudest possible volume. Oh, they're back there. They're good. I talked to my mom about that. I go, Mom, was I ever that loud? She goes, Matt, you were never not that loud. She goes, one day it's going to be quiet. And you'll see. Yeah, that's scary. Lowly, it's not about me. It's not about the parade. It's not about making everybody see how important and prominent I am. You know, Jesus Christ, he came, he slept with his head. What was he say? My pillow's a stone. He could have set his kingdom up right there. The stuff that he pulled off, the stuff that he did, he could have set himself up. I mean, you think about this at a time where medicine was, and he was out there healing people. He could have sat there and pushed even harder. He could have convinced everybody, made him a king. He could have sat on a throne. He could have done all those things. But you know what? It wasn't time for those things. Because my job is simple. I'm to come. I'm to live a spotless, sinless life. I'm to preach the gospel in the streets to everyone who will hear. I am to die on that cross. 3 days later, I am to come back. He knew his job. He did it. He had no problem telling people that he was one with God, but he also had no problem telling people that he was in the obedience of his Father. I do what he says. That's who he was. Folks, that is the lowliness that we ought to pick up. If you remember nothing of my name, let it be that the Lord moved me. Let it be that the Lord did something. We see here further on, it will be done. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Why? Because work done, the right kind of work done right, isn't all that hard. The right kind of work done right isn't very hard. You ever try to change a tire with the stock jack that comes with your car? You know, the one you slip in there and you're doing this? Don't you hate that thing? First thing I did when I got the money to do so, I went out and I got myself one of those jacks that were just big enough to lift the car up, but not too big I couldn't carry it around. I got one of those because I hated that. Hated it. Right? You get to a certain point and you're just sitting there going like, and there's no way to do it to make it look like you know what you're doing unless you're doing it really fast. You get to those last few where the thing doesn't want to go up anymore and you just look like you're struggling. Other men come and they pull over. Are you okay? Yes, clearly. You know, so I went out and I got one of those checks. You know why I got one of those checks? Because it was easy. Because it was faster. Because the less time I spend on the side of the road or sitting in some place, sitting in front of some tire place, the less time I'm there, the happier I am. If I'm doing the Lord's work, I'm telling you, it's happy work. It's good work. Does it come with heartbreaks? This is life. There's going to be heartaches. Right? You sit there, you know, somebody told me, oh, Matt, you became a pastor. It must be everything you wanted. Absolutely. Man, I bet everything's going great. It doesn't always go great. I got struggles too, just like everybody else. There's trials and troubles and things that I can't always express and tell other people about. There's things that people tell me and I got to pray for them, and I am praying for them, but it breaks my heart. Because there is that weird relationship between you and I. You know, I had friends tell me this. They say, hey, Matt, this will go on in my life and my heart will break for them. Oh, I'm so sorry. But I never experienced anything like I did when I became a pastor. And my heart truly broke for people. It's different. I wish I could explain that better. I probably shouldn't even try, but it's different. The struggles that other people have, they become your own. And I'll tell you this, I'm grateful for it. Life is hard, but it is easier in that yoke than anything else. When I did things God's way, there was less problems. I would sit there and I would tell the truth. And other people would lie and they would have customers call and scream them out for 15, 20 minutes. You said it was going to be 11:50. You sent me this thing over. It's 12:75. You lied to me. What's this water fee? What's this fee? What's that fee? You know what? I didn't often have those calls. Wonder why? Because the yoke I bore was easy. Hey Matt, listen. We see that your numbers aren't quite right. Where are you getting this? What did you do? Kind of looks like you're cheating. I don't have to have those. I never had to have those conversations. You want to know why? Because my yoke was easy. I just had to do the right thing. What was that thing that Mark Twain said? When you lie, you got something about being honest and you having to remember less. Because the more you lie, the more you got to remember. Are you that guy that I told was this or that? Because I had the person, no matter what they, whatever their prospect was interested in, they were interested too, even though they had no idea what it was about. So every time somebody would come in after they would rent and they would live with us for 2 or 3 years, they kept having to have conversations they knew nothing about. My yoke is easy. The burden on it is light, comparatively. Folks, a clean life is an easy life. It's an unencumbered life. The work that comes with sin, that's hard. And you're always apologizing or you're always fighting because you refuse to apologize. It's different. It's a struggle. The rest is implied in the fact that everything's a whole lot easier. But there is other things that are more restful. There's peace when I shouldn't have peace. There's rest when I shouldn't have rest. There's joy when I shouldn't have joy. Because that's what serving the Lord is about. I have things that makes no sense for me to have. This peace, joy, this love, this long suffering. These things, they make no sense. Why is it that you get to be so happy? Why is it that you get to have things in your suffering that most folks don't? Because that's what God promised us we would have. It's not a deserving thing. It's not a meditating on the side of a mountain with a monk kind of a thing. It's a gift. It's a gift that God gives us. So I tell you what, I'm thankful for this Christian life. And I tell you what, whenever I'm not living it right, when I've slipped on that old yoke, I notice the weight difference. I notice the weight difference. So let's make sure that when he says, come unto me, we're there. When he checks our yoke, we've got the right one on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for tonight. Lord, I just pray that you help us to remember the things that we should truly be thankful for. Lord, help us to look to you, to apply your word to our lives. And Lord, we'll see the benefits. We'll see what it is that you're talking about, where we get the rest, where we get the peace. Lord, how much easier the burden is. Father, your promise in that is sure. We've tried it several times. Lord, I just pray this, that we not get distracted, we not get confused, but that, Lord, we focus on you and do the right thing. For its name of Jesus we pray. Amen.